Blog Talk Radio.
Hit the wrong button. That's not the, here's the intro song. Sorry about it. Screw. Here we go. Like fire. Hit the wrong button. Sorry about that, but for the people listening to us here, you're live at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check us out Sunday nights right here from 7 to 8:30. I hit the wrong button. I'm over here talking away and forgetting. Well, CMLL comes on channel 31 on Sundays from 5 till 7. So I was checking out the last episode of the last match or whatever before, so I was so into it that I forgot, even though I had my headphones on, because, well, real quick, before we get into that, big show coming today, about the 15-minute mark, got my boy Biggie Biggs coming on, going to talk to him. He's actually working, so he's going to take a break at 7:15 so he can talk to us, because I talk a lot on both my shows that I have, or when I go to, you know, interview for somebody else or whatever, how important it is to have somebody that you could trust or whatever. And there's very few people that I trust in this business, as far as like in the ring and just somebody who's there, good dance partner or whatever. And Biggie Biggs has been one of them. If I'm going to, okay, let's say I got a new company I'm going to go work for or something like that. Hey, man, anybody you want to work with? Usually I say, I don't care. No matter. But if you're asking, I'll work with Biggie Biggs, because he's just there. He knows it's, everybody's going to say, yeah, right, dude, you ain't even close. But like when you hear Ric Flair, he says, Dusty Rhodes, we didn't even have to go over anything. We just go in there and do it. That many times that I've wrestled him, we see each other, what's up, bro? All right, man, I'll see you in the ring. Bam. And we just go. Because he just knows. He knows my style. I know his. It's just right there all the time. So that's why. So I'm having him come on, because I don't know if he's been doing much during the pandemic. I know he's been – did a few Lucha Vavoom shows or whatever. I don't know if he's actually been working them or doing security. But the biggest thing he ever did, and Nicolette Marie can attest to this, is when they had the big PCW show over at Iguana Kelly's for Joseph. He was working security there, and it was all – you had to stand up. There was no chairs or nothing like that. And I was, I think, a week away from having my right hip done, and I was dying, man. He's like, bro, I got you. And he got me a chair, and I was sitting at the merch table with some of the guys or whatever. So big ups to Biggie Biggs for helping me out on that day. So he's going to come in about the 7:15 mark. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Then at about the 7:45 mark, I'm going to see if he might be able to come on a little bit early, so because I've got so much to talk about. Cass Bell, I met out at King of the Cage when I was doing, if you look at that second picture that I put up or the first picture, it's I was doing the announcing for Future Legends at King of the Cage, and he won the belt over there. And I thought it was just, when you're by the cage, you kind of get a feel for some of these fighters. And then, like, you know, they say, this guy just has it. You can just tell, man, that the dedication, the motivation, and the prep, and the taking it serious and really wanting to do well, you can just see it from there. Plus, he's a wrestler that teaches the youth organization. And I've been doing high school wrestling, and that was supposed to come to fruition this year for me, but with the pandemic and stuff like that, it sucks because they haven't had, but I think they might be having some stuff out there up north where he lives. I think his kids might be wrestling. Over here, there's nothing right now. So talk to him a little bit about that. It's always good to get some perspective from somebody like Cass Bell, who, you know, who's fighting. And plus, he's got a big fight coming up in Bellator. He hasn't divulged, I don't think, yet, which fight card he's on or who he's fighting. So I don't know if he can talk about that yet. No big deal. If not, he's starting his training camp. I don't know if he's full bore into it now or whatever, but we'll find out definitely from him what's going on with that. So with all that being said, we like to keep everybody up to date on what's happening with UWC, United Wrestling Council. I was going to have Manny on to talk a little bit to him, but he's got something. I don't know if it's a party or something, but when I called him, he's like, bro, I can't get away. I'll call you. I'll text him. I'm like, no, man, just want to see if you want to come on here. No big deal. All right, man, talk to you later. Bye. And he hung up. So I don't know what he has going on or whatever, but we were going to get him on to talk about it, but he's busy. So we won't. So the April 11th date is tentative. We're steadily making a concerted effort to try to get that date set in stone because we want to make sure that it seems like stuff's about to open up a little bit more. I talked to RJ from RJ Promotions, and he booked Nicolette and I for a show April 3rd. It's going to be out in San Bernardino. I think he just put the flyer up today, which I'm not on. Hold on real quick. Let me do a quick public service announcement. What's up, man? You should have called me for a new picture. We would have hooked you up. But I'm not good enough. Okay, that means I'm going to do damage. Anyways, he's got that coming up in San Bernardino. I believe it's April 3rd. So we'll keep some, you know, keep everybody informed on that as far as that's coming up or whatever. So that's what we were talking about. We have everything set to go. We were going to meet today, as a matter of fact, at 10. But we don't. Everything's still kind of just laying stagnant, for lack of a better word, because we're just waiting to see. We want to make sure that if we do get that date for April 11th, we're not going to sell tickets and have everybody there and then everybody has to go home or somebody, I don't know, does something wrong or gets sick or whatever. We just don't want that to happen. So we're just trying to make sure everything is set and good to go before we have it. But we're steadily looking towards that date. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. So Mark Common, if you're listening, we should be meeting with you soon just to make sure that we have everything set to go, you know, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So definitely look forward to that. The card's been changing as it starts to open up. Jack Cartwright, we were going to have him on the card, but that dude's doing so well right now and working with New Japan, and that, you know, a lot of people asking for him to get booked. I don't know if we're going to be able to procure him for that show, so no big deal, but we got so much. That's why we got Biggie Biggs coming on tonight, because I think it's going to be myself and Unholy versus Biggie Biggs and I can't remember who else we put in that there, so I'll try to remember that. Oh, we might have to switch that up too. I might not even be able to wrestle in that show because there's so much going on or whatever. So we'll definitely, you know, as we get closer, we'll get the show. The main event's locked for sure. It's going to be Guyam and Fletch Fugaz versus Power Baby Genesis and Jaguar de Oro. That's definite. That's what's going to be the main event. So you can look forward to that. Other things in there like Vito. We're going to have Vito and Mikey O'Shea wrestle or whatever. So we don't know if they're going to be able to do it because Vito's been doing really well too. So we want to make sure we get these guys also set in stone before we announce that. But the main event is locked. Guyam, Fletch Fugaz versus Power Baby Genesis and Jaguar de Oro. So that's going to be slamming. So make sure you check that out. Sorry, I got on that rant. I had to make sure that I had everybody's attention. But for the people that listen to us, if there's a guy out here named Manuel Quiros who makes all the gear. And we go out there all the time. He's made some trunks for me and a bunch of different things. And he, Nicolette, gets a lot of gear made from him. Really nice stuff. I think I would say maybe 60%. Go get their gear made from him. But there's a guy in Japan named Mr. Kekeo who does the gear out there for all the big names in Japan, Desperado, people like that. But his stuff is amazing. I know Zokri, Phoenix Star and Zokri, they follow him on Instagram and it's a bunch of different people do. And the stuff that he makes is just amazing. So Titan was wrestling on this one. That's why I was so enamored. I was watching CMLL and Titan came out with all the new gear that Mr. Kekeo had made him, and it is off the chain, man. He made him a new mask. It was really nice, kind of different from what he usually wears and stuff, and it was really cool. New boots and everything looked really cool. And then whoever he was wrestling against, they started to rip it, and I was like, man, if that was me, I'd be, hell no, don't mess with that mask, because that's the one I would keep nice and clean. I can't explain that material. It's where you rub it one way and it's one color, but you rub it the other way and it's a different color. I don't know what you call that material, but it's really, really nice. So it was pretty cool. So I got kind of stuck on that. So that's why I was a little messed up and pushed the wrong button for the show. But anyways, with all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and give Biggie Biggs a call. We're going to get him in here, talk a little bit about what he's got going on as far as working right now. And if he's been wrestling, I know he's out there by where Unholy lives in Hemet. So see what's been going on with him. he's definitely locked and loaded for April 11th, if that show hopefully does come to fruition, which we're working on. So I'll talk to him a little bit about that, talk to him about being a good dance partner, and, of course, talk to him about working with me from here to eternity. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this with Biggie Bigs. Everybody, hang on. Playing that bell so we can break it up, break up the fights and everything. But for the people, listeners, you're here, you're at United Wrestling Council, UWC Radio. Make sure you check us out. You know, we had to move over to Sundays because of the busy work schedule that we have. But don't forget, for the people listening to us here, Paul's Photo. Paul's Photo, far and away, is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photos will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014. And you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Good to talk with Paul's Photos and keep them in as a sponsor, because that's what we're planning on having the show, which is a perfect place to have it. And a lot of people, I get some messages and emails that people ask me, because we had that big photo shoot and we posted some pictures from there, and they saw all the different backgrounds and lightings and how nice it can make you look and everything, which is really important for an independent wrestler. And we're like, yeah, dude, go down there. So by popular demand, for lack of a better term, everybody's been wanting, we're planning on going back over there and doing another live broadcast so that we could do the same thing. They bring all the photographers down that from there. They get all the lighting and the backgrounds and everything. The guys take pictures, and then they'll give them like a some little steals or whatever. And then they can pick if they want to do some 8x10s from there or whatever. And I'm telling you, man, it makes a world difference. Plus, we have a good time. We play some Chop Trivia, give away some stuff. Maybe we give away some tickets to the big show that's coming up there on April 11th. So definitely check out Paul's Photos. And we'll keep everybody posted on when we're going to actually go back over there and do the live broadcast. And somebody who will also be there with us on that day for sure is Yards After Contact. Got to check out Yards After Contact printing service, apparel, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com, and you can also check out their Facebook page. Great pictures of some of their work, especially the custom UWC, United Wrestling Council, shirts modeled by our own Manny Pinson. So that's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. If this does come to fruition and we do have the live broadcast over there, we're definitely going to have Yards After Contact bring. I don't know if that Raiders cornhole board and the Long Beach cornhole board is theirs, or if they made it for somebody else, but I would like for them to bring those if they can, or one of the other ones that they made, so you can check them out. Really cool stuff, so you definitely want to check that out. So let me go ahead and give Biggie Biggs a call. Hopefully he's ready to go. If not, we might have to call him back, but here we go. Let me take a quick sip while we're dialing Biggie Biggs. Hey, Biggie Biggs, it's me, Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Oh, I can hear you perfectly. What's going on, brother?
Good. Real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out United Wrestling Council here every Sunday from 7 to about 8:15 or so. So, but live with me right now, it's funny, Biggie Bass, because I was talking at the opening about having you on and stuff like that. But real quick, before I get into talking about that, you're actually working right now, taking a break. It's good that we can have you right now, right?
Yeah, I'm currently at work. We're in a very low-end retail store, and got to watch these crazy people during these crazy times right now.
Now, are you in the golf cart right now, or what are you, in the vehicle, or are you just walking around? What are you doing?
Right now, currently in my car, my brake, but normally we drive some type of Hemi truck. Like, our company wants us to look intimidating, so they give us Hemis and all these extra engine stuff, over-the-top cars.
Well, that's pretty cool. If somebody takes off with some gear or something, just run them over, and then everybody doesn't have to worry about it. But anyways, I got to tell you, man, it's funny because we were talking in the opening about, you know, who we're going to have on and talking about Biggie Biggs, and they were like, well, you say you've wrestled him from here to eternity or whatever, but this is the whole – I'll wrap it up in one quick little thing. This is what I say, Biggie. And I was like, why are Biggie's nuts? Why are we saying, oh, Biggie Biggs, this and Biggie that? But I'm saying this is – what's why there's certain people that I trust in this business, and it's very few and far between. And I'm like, Biggie Biggs is one of the people that I do trust. Even when Jessica started wrestling, I'm like, well, if we're going to start getting her feet wet, let's put her in with him because he knows what to do. I trust him or whatever. And then, oh, and I'm like, the thing with Biggie is he knows my style and Sergio's too, you know, the way we work or whatever. I go, I'll hit him with a couple of chops and he'll start crying and, you know, and the people pop for it or whatever. So this is what I'm trying to express to the people who are new to UWC Radio. Now, real quick, before we continue, Vel Viper is definitely one of them. There was a wrestler named El Sagrado. These are people that were like perfect dance partners for me. They were just there. You know, they knew if this was coming, they were just there. Is there anybody in your circle that you've wrestled before that's like that too, that you say, hey, man, this guy, we don't even have to hardly ever go over anything. We just go out there and do it.
Tornado, Human Tornado.
Right.
For me, Willie Mack. And for me, yeah, I mean, you taught me so well that, like, I learned on the fly. And as you've seen throughout lately, like, that's an art that's not taught so much anymore.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, everything is, we call in, you know, they go over so much. And it's like, what if something happens and you can't go? Like with me, I get winded. You know, right. We're big boys, we got to stop. And, But yeah, like I said, Human Tornado, Willie Mack, when I get a chance with them, or depends, like, I don't know who I'm wrestling lately. I've been wrestling, you know, the senior league, you know. So I get a lot of guys that have that same style where it's just we can go and not have to worry about it.
Yeah, it's funny because some of it isn't even that much of a work, because if you and I start crisscrossing after about 3 or 4 times, I'm blown up. I mean, I'm going to be honest. So it's like, and then you see me and you're like,
for a cheeseburger. I'm either searching for a cheeseburger or an asthma inhaler, bro.
And then you'll stop going, thank God he's blown up. So then you can take a rest or whatever. And then, and then we keep going, but it's just there. You know, if I see that happen to you, I know. And it's just something that you can't teach. You know, you just see it and you run with it. But I was talking earlier, before I get into that, you know, since this pandemic, you know, luckily Nicolette and I have been able to get on a couple of shows out in Orange County. But you, all the way out in Hemet, have you been getting any work at all, or what? You just been working, or any? Because I know you were doing some stuff with Lucha Vavoom before the pandemic hit. But since then, have you been doing any shows at all, or what's been happening out there?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much dedicated just to working out at the gym right now. I've lost about a good 40 pounds total. Probably since the last time you and I have been in the ring, about 50. But I've been working for Mikey Gordon out in San Diego. I've been actually having an event coming up, a couple of tips to have. EWF.com, run by Herb Abrams Jr.
Yeah.
yeah, just here and there picking up a couple of matches, you know.
The one for Herb Abrams, where's that at?
That's over there in Poway.
Okay, so you did end up getting the COVID?
I ended up getting the COVID. Fortunately, my mom had it and then passed it down through the whole household. So I was the last one to get it, even though I work at the store I work at. So I did take a few weeks off. But other than that, yeah, this is my first event back. Went to training a couple weeks ago with Little Cholo. But yeah, that was a good awakening too.
Yeah. Yeah, because did you have to come down here to Orange County, or where'd you train at?
Yeah. I came all the way out to Orange County.
Yeah, they've been doing pretty well. And I think Laredo Kid, who was out here for a show tonight, as a matter of fact, he went over there. So you really never know who's going to show up. But we talk about that, too. When we talk about people being in the business for so long and knowing, when Jessica started doing some training and stuff like that, it's hard when it's your daughter because you don't want to be too hard on them or whatever. But – Mariachi and Cholo were doing the class, and I was like, man, hey, I pulled Mariachi to the side. I said, look, man, I'm having trouble with, you know, showing Jessica the roles and stuff like that. Can you help her? Dude, like within minutes, boom, good to go. It really helped her a lot. So,
yeah,
like I was saying, man, there's no substitute for experience. And then especially you, who've been everywhere and wrestled everybody, you're never like, you never stop learning. There's always like something new that comes up, or whatever. Right?
Admittedly, I got complacent for years. And I just like, you know, I trained with pretty much everybody who's on top now. I train. I was like, why, you know? I was like, I know what I'm doing. And then, no, that hunger came back, man. Like, I miss it. I miss not being able to. And that's what's hard, like, not being able to. And having that drive and that hunger and junkie, you know, like, you know, looking at thinking I'm older now, like, oh man, these young kids are I can keep up with these young kids. Not maybe conditioning wise, but move for move I can keep up with them.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you say that because I think I told the story on this show. I have two shows, so it might have been on the other show. But it you know, when you say that, being older and wrestle with everybody, I was doing a show for Lucha Pro over at the Florence Arena, and two people didn't show up, and they just happened to be my match and somebody else's match. So they came at the last minute and said, hey, man, it's going to be a three-way with you against Phoenix Star and Robbie Phoenix. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, man. You know, I'm 53 years old at this time. And I'm like, dude, that might be. And then so I was, for the first time in years, I was nervous. And then, the thing is, Robbie, especially with Robbie Phoenix, who trains people at Santino's, and then Phoenix Star, who's part of Phoenix Star and Zokri, they were so professional, dude. They said, hey, let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked. They were so, the way they did it or whatever, you know, especially in the three-way, you know, they took me out. They did their thing. I came back in, and it was probably one of the better matches that I have. Have you ever had something like that similar happen to you?
Yeah, Robbie's one of those guys that, like you say, you trust in the ring. And you can look at each other and be like, all right, well, I'll see you out there, bro. And we just go. There's times where I've been so gassed and I can't breathe. And here comes Robbie saving the day, man. Get me here and all right, slow down and we'll go. And like, you know how it's been. Especially Lucha shows, people just don't want to show up or just can't show up last minute. And you're into the ring expecting something and then something else happens. And then you're like, all right, you learn on the
and that's, and it's funny because we talked a lot about that. I don't want to sound like that grizzled old veteran or whatever, but I don't know if these young kids can do that. They're so set that they're going to wrestle this and they're going to do this and do that. If something happens and you can't, it kind of throws them off. But that's why you have to work with as many people as possible and get different looks, lucha, pro wrestling, strong style or whatever, because if that happens, you have to be ready, right?
That's the one thing that I love. Been starting out here in California, the way we did was, I was able to learn everything from lucha to American to Japanese strong style to the hardcore deathmatch scene, everything. I've dabbled in all of that.
I'm gonna tell a quick big story, and then I got one more question before I let you go. But it was funny because I can't remember where we're at, and Biggie Biggs comes up and he had brand new gear. I don't know if he had it made from who he had it made from, but it was the low key style one. Low key used to wear those baggy type of pants that kind of came to the knee and the kick pads and all that. And I was like, dude, did you get some new gear? He's like, yeah. And I was like, I like it. It's like the low key look. And then you looked at me and go, yeah, man, I slept in it last night.
Like, yeah.
You remember that?
Yo, I was so happy.
I was like, yeah, man. I smell sleep in it, man, because I've tried it on and I was just wearing it. I just fell asleep in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that gear when I'm looking for Bart, but
that was funny, man. That was so funny. But anyways, real quick before I let you get out of here, this is just me. I'm an old man now, and it kind of helped with this COVID a little bit because that's been all I've been doing is going to work, coming home, lifting weights, training, and going to work. That's all I've been doing. I got a couple of shows here and there, but I'm gonna be honest with you. The last show I did in Orange County. Dude, I was so blown up. I mean, you know, we were doing these spots and everything, and I was just really blown up. So it's a lot different being in, like, treadmill shape than being in the ring. It takes quite a bit, you know, to get yourself set.
I'm learning different
now. You would agree, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because, like I said, I trained with the Luchas. I've trained with, you know, a lot of top talent, and like being in ring shape is a lot harder than being treadmill shape or glamour mode shape.
Right.
I went to training a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, okay, I've been able to run and beat some. I can beat some of the guys running. No, man, I couldn't run. I tried to run the ropes. I was like, I need a break.
it is, but for the people who don't know, they see the finished product, but it does. You have to be, because if you're not and you really get blown up, you might miss something, and I just don't want anybody to get hurt. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm an old man, you know, so, and I only, this is what I did for myself to set a goal. I'm going to wrestle for one more year, and what I've been doing is training and working at the jiu-jitsu place and stuff like that. To get my chain wrestling stuff and gear, because everybody's like, oh, Fabiano's just a show artist and a clown and all that. So I'm like, well, I just do it because I don't want to be born, but I can wrestle. So I'm going to go to these different places and wrestle and show them I could wrestle for this last year before I can't do it anymore or whatever. That's the goal I set for myself this year. Now, what about yourself? You know, with COVID coming to a tail end or whatever, what's the main goal for Biggie Biggs?
Get out there more. You know what? Like I said, I gotta take an opportunity that I always wanted. Yeah, I'd like to be on TV. I'd like to be on these other places. But I got comfortable. I got very complacent. These people should be calling me. Why can't I hustle?
Yeah.
And now it's just like, okay, let me go out there. Let me try these social media tactics that are working for people. Let me try this and see if I can give it a run.
Yeah.
I'd love to, you know, do as much as I can. I got a young kid now.
Yeah.
And like, I want to take him to the shows and, you know.
Yeah, he's right behind
you. I just want to, oh my God.
He's already throwing kicks and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So I'm laid down the other, like, a couple of weeks ago, and he goes and grabs a little chair, and all of a sudden just comes and starts attacking me. Keeping it safe, and I'm laughing and trying to, you know, sell for him. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right behind you. But anyways, you know, Manny Pinson, who's the owner and the proprietor of UWC, I don't know if you know the story, but you remember Pistol Pete used to have United Wrestling Council back in the day, and Manny continuing it on now. Bull Ramos Jr.
Okay.
He used to be back in the day. So we've been working. I mean, ever since the pandemic hit, we've been working hard. So we have a tentative date for April 11th. And when we sat down at the meeting and said, we put the card together, I'm like, got to have Biggie Biggs in there for sure. So hopefully we'll be able to do that show on April 11th. So I will definitely be in touch to let you know what's happening.
Okay.
If not, at a later date for sure. But of course, well, as soon as we sat down and started working everything out, Biggie Biggs was one of the first people that we definitely had in mind. So for the people listeners, if you want to check out Biggie Biggs, what do they put? Raymond P. Murillo in their little Facebook search engine to keep up with you?
Facebook. Yeah, or on Instagram, it's SoCal Biggie or SoCal Big. I forget which one it is. In fact, hold on, let me look that up.
I know Raymond P. Murillo is for Facebook, but I think I saw SoCal Biggie. I think on my Instagram. That's right, huh?
Yeah, SoCal Biggie on Instagram.
Biggie. Okay, I got it down right here, and I'll give that at the end of the show so the people can follow. He keeps a lot of people up to date. If you want to see his sleeping with one eye open because he might get an elbow on him while he's asleep or whatever by his son, he tapes that or whatever. You can keep up with that. And hopefully we'll be able to see Biggie Big in action with us for UWC on April 11th. Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, Biggie. I'll be seeing you real soon, all right, my friend?
Yeah, we'll see you soon. Let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Biggie,
you
know, everybody. Yeah.
I'm ready whenever you guys. All right. Thank you, guys. Great talking, everybody.
We know that you'll be ready. I see you training and everything like that, so we're definitely looking forward to having you on this card for sure. So for the people listening to us, Biggie Biggs, everybody, make sure you keep an eye out for him. We'll be right back after this. Biggie Biggs, everybody.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Always good to have Biggie Biggs on the show. It's like, you know, when him and I, it's been so long since I talked to him. Him and I kind of, you know, got so much to talk about. I wish we could have had him on for a little bit longer. I got to go out to Hammett so we can get Biggie Biggs and Sergio, who was my partner for many years, the Unholy, and we can all sit down and talk for a little while. But for the people listeners, you're here. You're at UWC, United Wrestling Council Radio. Make sure you check us out on Sundays from 7 till about 8:30 or so. Manny and I meet quite often, and we're trying to bring in some different people. You know, it's always good to have a girl on and get their perspective, because that brings the ratings up and people want to hear. We'll be talking to Candy Girl, Lucy Love, just a bunch of different people. But people have lives, so we got to make sure we get the right person that can commit to coming on with us. So you don't have to hear me talk so much, you know, which I could do like it's a nothing. But let's give Cass Bell a call. I want to talk some MMA and some collegiate wrestling, folk style wrestling. So let me give him a quick buzz right here so we can get him on and talk some stuff here.
Hello.
Hey, Cass, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC United Wrestling Council Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I can hear you. How about
Mike?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect, man. I'm
awesome.
So thankful that you were able to come on a little bit early with me, because I got so much to talk to you about. And I was like, I got to see if I can get him on a little bit earlier. But real quick for the people listeners, don't forget you're here at UWC. We're going to be talking to Cass Bell. I know, you know, Bellator fighter got something coming up, and I want to definitely talk about that. But real quick, before we get into that, I know you started training or whatever, but did you get to watch the UFC last night?
I did not. Unfortunately, I did not.
Okay. So that was going on ESPN Plus, but then on ESPN, they had a big boxing fight on. It was Burchell versus Valdez. Huge lead up to it. They had one of those, you know, where they show all the training camps and the fight camps and everything leading up to it. Did you get a chance to see that at all either? With
No, I didn't get to watch any of the fights. Last weekend I did, but not this weekend. This weekend's been crazy.
Well, this is what happened, man. I didn't want to miss the boxing fight, so I didn't watch the main event, Derek Lewis and then Ruben Blades or whatever.
Okay.
Dude, it always happens this way. Derek Lewis had a big knockout, you know, and he got the corner got mad at him and said, hey, you didn't have to give him those extra shots. And he's like, it's Herb Dean's fault. He didn't stop it fast enough. So the whole big mess, and I missed it. I didn't see it till today because I was watching the boxing. But this is a question I have for you before we get into it. Well, you know, working for On the Mat for so many years, you know, we've gone back and forth, and this has been a hot topic for years, many years, and I've had many different people say different things. To me, this is how it went. I know you didn't get a chance to see the fight, but this is what happened. Burchell was getting peppered. I mean, he was just taking a lot of shots. He got knocked down maybe two or three times. They started getting into like the ninth and tenth round. The ninth round, his legs were like leaving him. The dude was just really hitting him with some really hard shots, you know. So when he got back to that ninth and he was sitting on the stool, and you could kind of see it in his face, man, and his guys are telling him, well, are you okay or whatever. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. But I'm looking, I'm like, please do not send this guy back out. Don't, because it's just going to be horrible for him. Of course, they send him back out, and man, Valdez hit him with the right hand. I thought he was dead. He, you know, those ones where they flip his face. Yeah, and then when they flipped him over, the referee flipped him over, he was just still. You know, if you didn't see his chest going up and down, I would have thought he was dead. So here's the thing, and we go through this all the time. You know, I say, man, why doesn't the corner just stop it and say, you know, look, man, we're not going to win this fight. You're taking a lot of shots. Let's just live to fight another day or whatever. And then, you know, a lot of people say, well, look, first of all, some of the referees know me as a fighter, and they know how much I could take, so they're not going to stop the fight. And then the fighters – corners don't want to stop the fight because they don't want the fighter to get mad and fire them and say, hey man, I didn't want that fight stopped. You stopped it. You're gone. So give me your thoughts on that as a fighter who's been in the cage and knows. I mean, let me just give you that scenario. If your corner said, look man, we thought you were taking too much punishment, we stopped it, but you felt like you can go on. I mean, I don't know if you'd fire him or not, but would you be highly upset because you feel like you want to keep going?
I mean, it would just depend. I mean, obviously, every scenario, I'm definitely going to have to watch that fight to see it and stuff. But, I mean, it's hard. Like, you know, I always say I never want to be pulled out of a fight. I want to keep fighting, you know, all the way until, you know, the ref, you know, tells me I'm done, you know, until they have to stop it. But it's a hard one because, again, you know, our coaches are there, cornermen are there to protect us, you know, to protect us from ourselves, really, because, you know, we don't, you know, as fighters, we just, you know, we want to fight. We're there. We'll take, you know, damage and, you know, try to die in there. But, again, that's not the best thing for us, obviously. And so, our coaches are there to stop us. But it's a hard one. It's a hard one. Like, I would be upset if they pulled it, you know, but really then, you know, at the moment I would be upset. But then, you know, an hour later, a couple, you know, days later, however long later, I would realize, well, you know, it's my fault for, you know, putting myself in that position and having my coaches or whoever stopped that fight in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
But I would definitely be fired up though at first, like, no, I can keep going, you know, like, but again, after all the adrenaline's gone and I, you know, calm down, I'd be like, no, you know, I would definitely thank my coaches. Hey, thank you guys. Cause obviously they stopped, they saw something that I didn't see. And, cause it's just like what I do with my kids, you know, like my son, like a couple of years ago, he was training really hard for, I think it was Reno or Worlds of Reno and Rumble Reno, one of the tournaments. And, he trained for a good solid month, worked his butt off, went to bed early, did everything he was supposed to do, and he was, you know, good chance of winning it, taking home a belt. And unfortunately, he hurt his neck in his one of the matches. He was still going for first place, but he hurt his neck, and we stopped it. The medical checked him out, and he still wanted to wrestle. Like, he didn't want to just give up, and I gave him – I let him go out there for, like – 20, 30 seconds, I realized he was holding his head weird and just wasn't, you know, I had a bad feeling. So I pulled him, like, nope, we're done, you know, and he was yeah. pissed at me. But again, that's my son first off, but also, you know, I got to look out for him. He could live another day and, you know, train and do something else instead of, you know, getting a serious injured. So it's a hard one. It's definitely a hard one, but I totally understand when, you know, you have to throw in the towel.
Man, that's a perfect example right there. You know, you don't, and then he probably doesn't understand. Hey, man, I feel okay. I want to keep going, but you're like, no, man, I can see you. It's the, you know, and it's the same with tapping. You know, you got all these keyboard warriors. Oh, this guy tapped. He's such a wussy or whatever.
Yep.
But let me put it this way. Ever since I started working for King of the Cage, and was right there at the cage and see what everybody goes through prep wise and everything, and sitting right there at the cage and seeing people take punishment or somebody get put in a hold and that thing's about to snap or whatever, I'm like, to me, there is no shame in tapping. You know, go ahead and tap and fight another day. There's no shame. But then, you know, you've got the macho, you know, guy that's like, no, I won't tap. I'd rather get put to sleep, or I'd rather let the bone break or whatever. And then you're out for, what, six to 8 weeks, right?
6 months. Or 6 months. You know, all this depends.
Yeah.
You got to heal and stuff and then get back into training. It takes time. You have, you know, to get back to where you were before. It takes a while. It takes a long time.
Yeah, that's it, and I guess, well, of course, you have all the people at home. What do they call it? Monday morning quarterback. That, oh, he should have did this and he should have did that. And I'm like, dude,
always.
When you step into that cage or ring or whatever, then it'll be a totally different story. But anyways, I wanted to run, and it's perfect. See, this is why I have people like Kaz Bell on the show, because that was a perfect scenario. His son, you know, he saw something wrong and he stopped it right away, because we don't want to, like we say, live to fight another day. Plus, he has such a big future ahead of him. You don't want to see that.
Oh, exactly.
Know.
So young.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, get thrown in. But speaking of that, and I'm going to get to you know, getting ready for your Bellator fight and everything. Are the kids actually wrestling right now as we speak? You know, did this?
Yeah,
this,
so they're training. Yep, they're training their butts off. We took some time off when COVID first hit, but then realized that it was doing more harm to my kids than to stay home and, you know, and be in the house and stuff. It was my son has asthma, and he rarely ever needs his inhaler because he trains so much and stuff. But when we stopped training, we had to close down the gym and everything. And then we went on a bike ride. It was just like 2-3 weeks later, and he had it, you know, he was puffing and dying with, you know, he needed his inhaler. I was like, whoa, I'm like, all right, we got to stay active. You know, we can't just, you know, do nothing. So I have a whole bunch of kids that I've been training for a while now. We've all, you know, did our little quarantine thing together with all the families and stuff. So we're like one big happy family, but yeah, we're training and stuff. I have kids, you know, traveling for tournaments and stuff like that, you know, kicking butt. I have a couple national champions and stuff, but I haven't been able to share or talk about it because, you know, COVID and everything like that. So we've just been doing our thing and, you know, staying safe and, you know, doing, staying active is the main thing for all these kids.
Yeah. And this COVID is just, it's killing me personally. Well, I work in the healthcare industry, so I've been hours upon hours, you know, and all that. So it's been keeping me super busy, but this, you know, I coached wrestling, for 6 years, almost seven. The seventh one I didn't get to do as much as I wanted to, but then I haven't done it for a while. And it was funny because maybe not too long ago, maybe a month and a half to two, 3 months ago, we'll say, the coach from Milliken called, and we were talking because I wanted to go buy some gear and all that because they get the new gear in and stuff. So I went and met him, and he says, hey, you know, I retired this year, and my son is going to take over. And he still, you know, he knows the wrestling out, but he doesn't know how to make brackets and stuff like that. I have to help him with that. It would really be nice if you can come back and help us. And I was like, yes. So we said, okay, well, Fridays I'm going to work half day so I can come home. Because, you know, Friday's the day where, you know, cutting weight, and then they weigh in and do like maybe two or three matches, and then Saturday is the big day where they finish up the tournament.
Yep.
So I'm like, yeah, I can totally commit to that. So, all right, cool, man. So we have everything, and then they shut everything down, and everything.
Yeah.
They were deciding that they were might do like a spring tile, spring season or whatever, but they've even put the kibosh on that right now. So it sucks because right when we're about ready to do it, you know, it just shuts everything down. So here in Southern California, nothing, no high school wrestling, no tournaments, no nothing. But out there in Northern California, you guys still have some stuff going on over there?
No, so all the tournaments are closed down here in California. So it's all like there's tournaments going everywhere else. So like in Arizona, Kansas City, Iowa, all like the whole like a couple whole bunch of other states, Utah
yeah.
and stuff. There's there's tournaments going on and there's kids, you know, like there's thousands of kids wrestling at these big national tournaments. And in the beginning, it was like, whoa, we're gonna catch COVID. You know, like there's no way there's thousands of kids here, 2,500 kids sold out. And then, all their parents and everything else, everyone's wearing their masks, most of everybody. But again, it's still, like, whoa, but everything, was fine for a while. For the longest times, I did get sick eventually, like a month ago, and I quarantined and did all that. I didn't get tested or nothing like that. So I don't know. I can't say if it was COVID or not. But my lady, she got the vaccine or got the shot and stuff. So she had like her first shot and, cause she works with the older folks. And so she was one of the first ones to get at least a shot. So she didn't get sick, but, my son got sick for half a day. My daughter didn't get sick at all. I was sick for like 5 days. I just slept and laid in bed, but I wasn't quite, not sure what it was, but it, knocked me on my butt, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad at all. So I don't know. But
I guess these people don't understand how important this is to us, man.
Exactly.
I got to tell you that, I have the Big Ten Network here. When they finally started showing, the wrestling on there, I was so happy, and a lot of the guys there too, they had to stay in shape at home and they made their own like rooms with their own mats and stuff like that. So it's good that they're finally getting, to get back to that. Now yourself personally, fighting for Bellator, they have been down for a little while. UFC was the only thing running for one. It looks like they're starting to try to come back or whatever. Now, I don't know if you could talk about your fight that's coming up or whatever, but are you actually starting to train and get ready for something coming up soon?
Yeah. Yep. I'm training. I can't talk too much about the fight yet because I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Contracts need to be signed and all that. But yeah, I'm training my butt off, like I said before, the COVID, stopped us. And then I took a couple months off of not training because I was told, I wasn't going to be fighting for a year or so because, what was going on. And then, so I was like, well, I'm going to, stay home and take care of all my stuff I've been putting off for years because fighting was my focus and coaching, so that's all I did, so everything else got left behind. And then finally had some time to work on that, so I started doing everything at home. And then I got that call for that fight last year against Rafion Stotts, and I got that call 4 weeks before. And of course, like I said, with fighters, we'll fight for whatever, we'll fight in, any day, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
And so they called, they're like, hey, you want to fight? I'm like, heck yeah, of course I want to fight, but that was, the biggest mistake of my fighting career. The first day I walked back in the gym, try to lift some weights. I was sore for like 4 or 5 days afterwards. Like, oh man, I can't do nothing. Like, I'm so out of shape. Like, this is hell. And the older you get, I'm realizing too, it's hard. You get young anymore where I could just, like jump up out of bed or jump up and just start training, full speed, full speed ahead. And, So now I'm, been in shape, training my butt off, I'm almost back to in shape where I was before COVID. I think by the time my fight happens, I should be in the same shape or better shape than I was before COVID. So I'm stoked because my last fight where I fought, I was in the worst shape I've ever been in. I was like amateur shape. It was pretty sad. So I can't wait for my next fight.
Is that because of the COVID? Because especially you, as wrestling all the time, and plus you have, teaching and all that stuff, you're always in it. So you're always, doing something.
Yep.
And then with the COVID, you kind of stopped all that. Is that what killed you?
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Just stopping and not doing, you know, not training and stuff every day. You know, sleeping in because it's like, whoa, we could sleep in now. I can catch up on all the sleep. I can, you know, the biggest thing I was like, well, I'm gonna work on all my quads and stuff that I have. I have all these quads and dirt bikes and stuff that
yeah.
were sitting outside for like 5-6 years, or they're in storage. So I was like, well, I'm gonna take them all out, get them all working and stuff, so my kids can ride, and all the kids that I coach, we could go out to the beach and ride, so we're at least doing something. And,
yeah.
you know, so that's what I was, you know, focusing on and doing, you know, doing that. And then, you know, usually I've never took 2 months off before in my lifetime, you know, when I'm training and fighting. I've took like a week or two off, you know, but that's it. And then I get back into training and I'm good. But 2 months, man, that ruined me. That I couldn't believe
yeah.
how hard it was to get back in shape. It's literally taken me, like I said, I'm still not in shape as I was. I've been training 5 to 6 days a week now for the past 2-3 months now, and I'm almost back to where I was before. Like it's been rough. It's not an easy task.
And I don't know how you can explain to the people. There's a big difference in being in shape, like running on a treadmill or whatever.
Yep.
But training like in the cage and wrestling and stuff like that. Because I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I took probably almost 4 months off or whatever. And my friend Luis, who we train all the time, he said, "Hey man, you know, let's train in the gi or whatever. We'll make sure we're outside and all that." And just working technique, I was starting to get tired, and then just
yep.
rolling. Well, I'm fat, so all I would do is get that top position and then just try to hold until I can get my win. But I mean, it was big difference. I mean, that was
yeah.
really sucking wind. I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, walking or running on a treadmill than actually, you
yep.
know, doing stuff. I guess because your muscles are so, you know, you're holding somebody and you're, you know, whatever, and it just really takes a lot out of you. So it's true, like you say, you got to keep that going, man. Keep that in shape going. But Cass Bell, somebody I never worry about because that guy's always in shape, and he knows, especially coming from a wrestling background, you know, he's just doing it all the time. That's why I keep saying, man, they're used to that grind, and they know. So with that being said too, before I let you go, you know, Yoel Romero came over from UFC, and he's in Bellator,
yeah.
and they're talking about him, and you know,
yep.
To me, when I see him, I'm like, dude, why doesn't he just close that distance? His wrestling is so good, you know, especially coming from Cuba, where that's your life. If you decide to become a
mm-hmm.
wrestler, that's your life. I don't understand why he doesn't just close that distance, get him down, pound him out, or whatever he wants to stand. Do you think it's a I don't want to say macho thing or whatever, but it's kind of like with Ronda too. Her judo was so there. She was just closing that distance. You know, she tie him up and take him over. But then I think she got a feel for that knockout, you know, and she wanted
yeah.
to stand. So how am I going to knock this person out? Do you think – so the question I'm trying to say is, do you think it would behoove Yoel, especially – I mean, the dude's a freak of nature even at his age.
Oh, yeah.
It would behoove
yeah,
him to do that, you know, to just to close that distance, get him down and finish him up.
Oh, yeah, he definitely should. But, again, you know, like you said, you get that knockout, you know, that knockout, you know, you know, celebration and stuff. It's like, man, that's what I want for the next one. I want this and that. And you want to – and, again, you know, we're entertainers too, so we want to, you know, make exciting fights. We want to keep it standing. Like, so many people like it standing and
yeah.
stuff, you know, like, they just, you know, love it and stuff. So we try to, you know, make it the most exciting fights as we can, and sometimes we get caught up with, you know, let's stand and bang. Let's throw down right here in the cage, even if it's not going so well for us, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Have you seen Yoel in person?
I have not. Nope. That's one guy I have not seen yet, but I'm hoping I'll be able to soon.
I have, and TV does that dude no justice. I mean, that
oh, yeah.
dude is huge. And I'm like, you know, I guess that's, since that's your life and that's all you know and you've been doing it or whatever, it's just amazing, you know. And I wanted to talk to him for a little while or whatever, but he had so many people around him, I couldn't even get close or whatever. But
oh, yeah.
just, and then when I see him, I say, well, that to me, that looks like the epitome of a wrestler. You know, he's been doing it forever, and I've listened to a lot of his interviews and stuff like that, and that's what he says. That's your life, you know. And they put you with, when they're training you for the Olympics, at a level, and then when you reach another level, they put you with a bunch of guys that are at another level. You just keep going up and up and up, and I'm like, yeah, that's why. And it's the same here. Do you real quick too, this is what I see too in collegiate wrestling, like Penn State, all of a sudden, man, they just really started winning all these championships and everything. So do you think it's a matter of like, okay, Kale Sanderson is the coach, that's where I want to go. So if I live in Long Beach and I want to become one of the best in college, they start getting the best of the best recruited over there. That's got to be it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Like, usually, you know, guys, you know, especially if they could go wherever, you know, especially the young guys, they want to, you know, everybody wants to go where the best, you know, best training is. So if they don't have anything in their hometown, it's like, well, where's the best? If I'm going to make a move, I better go to the best spot that I know of, you know, and, you know, make it worth it. So that's what happens a lot, you know, so many places.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I'm very biased on that for the wrestling and all that stuff, but I just think it just, there's nothing like it, man. Just living that lifestyle and always, you know, grinding it out and stuff like that. There's nothing like it. So we definitely look forward to your next fight. Do me a favor, man. As soon as you get that thing locked and loaded and set in stone, you know, either shoot me a text or whatever, or an email, let me know.
Yeah.
So we can promote it on here, man. Cause I definitely,
Heck yeah. You know,
I used to say, I want to get that place packed, you know, so.
Yep.
But we don't know if there's going to be an audience or not. So we want to get everybody watching, you know, to make sure that you guys get paid, man. Because I've known Cass for a while, and when I saw him fight at King of the Cage, and I talked about this at the opening, you after doing so many fights, you can kind of see the guys that are serious, man, and put in the work and you know, really are building the future. And when I saw Cass, I'm like, yeah, man, this guy, you could tell he put in the work, you know, and I see it all the time, you know, with the wrestling and stuff like that. So that's why we have people like Cass Bell on the show. So we appreciate it, man. I definitely look forward to checking out that fight. I know you got a big fan base and all that. So if they do let some people come down, I'm sure, you know, they'll be packed with some Cass Bell fans. So anybody else you want to thank or anything like that before we get out of here, Cass?
I'm just glad I'm able, you know, that you hit me up and I'm able to get on. I've had the busiest day today. Today's been crazy. You called me right when I got home, walked through the door. Thanks for having me on. Obviously, I got to thank all my friends and family and fans that are watching and listening right now and that are going to be watching and support that have always been supporting me. Definitely my Institute of Combat, my coach, John Thompson, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him, and, Levi Cope, who's also, you know, assistant coach and, you know, and then my IOC team. And then of course all my wrestling kids, you know, all my wrestlers, they keep me going and, you know, we're almost fully open. We haven't fully opened up everything yet, but, you know, I can't wait to get all the kids back in there and get training. You know, I always make a joke with my kids or not my kids, but with my coaches and stuff and just say, you know, the dirtier you are, the less COVID affects you. You know what I believe, and less wrestlers, you know, we're always wrestling. We're always in germs and stuff. So, you know, usually when we catch it, doesn't usually mess us up that bad. So anyways, you know, yep, exactly. Keep the immune system strong. And,
Sure.
I mean, that's pretty much all. I got to give a shout out to my lady Chels. She was a trooper today. Somebody broke their leg out on the beach, and she was there helping them, you know, helping them get it out there. So I got to give her a big shout out today. That's what we were dealing with today at the beach.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's all in the family, man, for sure. And I mean, not only just a fighter and all that, but a family man and the kids, you know, looking out for him and all that. It all works out, man. So we here can appreciate it. So we definitely look forward to your big fight coming up. Make sure you let us know so we can promote that bad boy on this show.
Yeah.
For the people listening, if you want to check out Cass Bell, just put Cass Bell in your little search engine. It's CassBell. He keeps everybody up to date on there if he, you know, when the fights are coming or whatever. So we really appreciate it. All right, my man, I'll talk to you soon. Make sure you let me know when that fight comes about.
Yep, will do, man. All right, have a good one.
All right,
guys.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back after this. Cass Bell, everybody. it's always good to have Cass Bell on here, man. That dude's always grinding it out, and like that's why we have him on. It was like the perfect scenario when we talked about that. Live to fight another day. Like he said, his son was out there. He saw something wrong, pulled him. Hey, man, we just live to fight another day. Why make it worse? Why keep going and you have nothing to prove, man? Just, you know, let heal it up. Let's fight another day. So we appreciate Cass Bell coming up. Plus, big fight coming up for him in Bellator, man. That dude's moving and shaking. So don't forget, for the people listening to us, about Paul's Photos. Far and away, Paul's Photos is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Make sure you check them out. And of course, when we have that big live broadcast over there, we will be having Yards After Contact there. Got to check out Yards After Contact, printing service, apparel, and of course, custom cornhole boards, which is all the rage now. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com and check out their Facebook page. Great pictures of some of their work, especially, like I said, those custom cornhole boards, their Long Beach one and the Raiders one is really, you can see the picture of it if you go on there. So, and also the custom UWC shirts modeled by our own Manny Pinson. That's Yards After Contact. Get your custom gear today. So make sure you check them out. Got some good stuff over there. So, hey, big ups to Biggie Biggs for coming on, taking some time out on his break to come and talk to us about, you know, the wrestling and what he's got going on. And hopefully he'll be with us on April 11th if that show comes about over there at Paul's Photos, by the way. So make sure you keep up to date with us on that. And, of course, Cass Bell talking about, you know, injuries and wrestling and getting ready for Bellator and training during the COVID and all that. That's why I have people like that on, because they know what they're talking about. So, I just looked at my phone. Manny was like, hey, bro, I'm available if you want to come on. Sorry I couldn't get to you, man. But, you know, once I get talking mixed martial arts or whatever, I get rolling. So maybe we can get him on next week and we can get an update of what's happening with the United Wrestling Council. So we'll look forward to that. So for the people listening to us, appreciate you coming, spending some time with us on Sunday night. We'll be back next Sunday. We'll keep everybody up to date on that. So we'll see everybody here next Sunday. Thanks, everybody.